The Disney Brit podcast is sponsored by Attraction Tickets Direct and Complete Orlando. At Attraction Tickets Direct, they recognise that people nowadays want to be free from package holiday restrictions and to avoid paying prices inflated by travel agent commission. Because they don't sell through travel agents, they are able to offer attraction tickets at unbeatable prices and offer expert advice. Furthermore, the service they provide is second to none since their lines are open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week. Customers receive their tickets within 7 days, and there are no hidden extras such as credit card fees or postage surcharges. You can call them on 0800 975 0002 or visit www.attraction-tickets-direct.co.uk. Complete Orlando are here to help simplify your Orlando holiday. They specialise solely in arranging holidays to Orlando and can therefore provide you with an expert advice and knowledge on this magical destination. They have expert staff available 7 days a week and can personalise your whole itinerary using their range of hotels, private villas and apartments to suit all budgets, as well as car rental, scheduled flights, theme park tickets and travel insurance. Their whole range can be totally tailor-made to offer complete flexibility and fit your individual requirements. Call them on 0800 294 8844 or visit www.completeorlando.co.uk. Make sure to take advantage of some of Attraction Tickets Direct current offers. Every child Disney ticket purchased gets a free exclusive Disney autograph book. Purchase any Orlando Flexi ticket or Discovery Cove ticket with your Attraction Tickets Direct, and they will give you a free Boggy Creek airboat ride ticket. The Discovery Cove low season price has been extended, and go to their website to find out how you can still save up to £25 per person. A 14-day ultimate ticket is still available for 7-day price. No strings attached, so go and check that out. And also, remember about the free dining offer that is available over at Complete Orlando. You can check all of those out over on their websites.
Salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
This is Julie Andrews. Once upon a time, there was a magic kingdom made of hopes and childhood fantasies. A timeless place where every land was filled with wonder. A place where everyone who entered its gates would be given the gift of the young at heart. The power to wish upon a star and unlock its magic. Are you ready to wish upon a star? Then it's time to open your heart and remember, dreams come true.
Hello and welcome to episode 13 of the Disney Brit podcast for Wednesday the 15th of April 2009. Well, what have we got for you this time then? Well, we have our usual news and rumours section, which are going to be booked to you along with Juz. We then are going to bring you the trivia quiz answers for this month. We're then going to bring you a segment that we were supposed to bring a couple of episodes ago and just really didn't get a chance to put it in. And that is about travelling solo to the Disney resorts. Juz is going to bring you a credit crunch tip again, but this time it's not going to be Juz. It's actually going to be one of our listeners, so we're going to bring that to you. And then we're going to round off the show with a Mouse Meets update. We're going to end that then with just the usual information and announcements, and there's going to be a few surprises along the way. So sit back, relax, and without any further ado, we're going to bring you this edition of the Disney Brit Podcast.
Good morning, sire.
Good morning, Zazu.
Checking in
with the morning report.
Fire away.
welcome to the news for episode 13. You join me and you join Juz. Hello, Juz.
Hi, Adam. Hello, Disney Pop people.
We're going to get through the news, not so much to get through this time. So we're going to go through all of that for both Walt Disney World and Disneyland Resort Paris. So let's start ourselves with a little bit of Disney news regarding the films rather than anything else. And that is that Bolt's DVD and Blu-ray has been given a release date, that of the 15th of June 2009. So that's been given by Walt Disney Studios Entertainment. I've had a look over on the sort of special features and things like that are coming with it. Nothing really to shout home about, unfortunately.
No, they're just banking on people like myself who enjoy the film, trying to go out and buy the DVD straight away.
Yeah, I think they probably are. I was hoping there'd maybe be a 3D version as part of it, but that doesn't seem to have happened, which is a real shame. Really disappointed. But you never know, that might come out at a later date. So it'd be really good if it does. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's head over to Walt Disney World then. We're going to look at our first bit of Walt Disney World news, and that is over at the Magic Kingdom, and that there has been record attendances over at the Magic Kingdom over the past week or so, specifically over 7th and 8th of April. Actually, the Magic Kingdom's admission policies have changed from Phase 2 up to Phase 4 at times. Let me just explain to you what Phase 2 to 4 are. They're the following. If the park is open at Phase 1, then it's open to all park guests. No matter who comes along, you can buy a ticket on the day. It's open to everybody. If the park goes down to Phase 2, this is where the benefits of staying on property really helps, because the resort is the park is going to be open to resort guests, annual pass holders, guests with park hopping tickets that are coming from another park. So if you've already used one of your admission days in another park, you can hop across, and guests who are re-entering the park. Phase 3 is open to resort guests and annual and premium annual pass holders, but they must arrive by Disney transportation. So, you know, if you've got a hopper ticket, you're not going to get it. It's not going to happen if it's Phase 3. And Phase 4, which is sort of the worst one of all, that it's close to all guests due to the park actually reaching maximum capacity. So, some interesting to see that, you know, Disney are worried about not a lot of people coming to the parks, and yet still we're having record attendances.
I think it just shows how proactive they've been with this 7-for-4 deal and everything like that. It's bizarre it comes on the heels that Orlando's resort tax is actually showing that it's down by several million this last week, I think.
Yeah, you're right. And there's a lot of resorts having issues. You know, we look at Universal, who are having issues at the moment with having to refinance their loan they've got. They're owing billions. Their loan comes to the end, I think it's next year. And there's still billions and billions of pounds that they're owing, and they're struggling to pay that back. And if they don't, and they don't get a refinance, it's going to cost them a fortune in interest. So they're really struggling.
It's bizarre, isn't it? I mean, when I first heard that Universal having problems, you go and look on the actual details, and I was horrified to see it was billions.
Yeah, it really is.
And you think of the interest rate on that.
And also the problem with SeaWorld as well. At the moment, you know, Anheuser-Busch has been bought out, and nobody wants the parks. And there's the issue there, of, you know, they're still building, but nobody wants to buy it. What's going to happen to that? You know, obviously, with nobody wanting to buy it, nobody being interested, they're not really pushing any promotions or anything. So there's an issue there as well.
Yeah, and I think with SeaWorld building Aquatica, when times were good, and let's be honest, times have been very good, and perhaps people have forgotten, you know, the problems they had at the beginning of the year, you know, 2001, etc.
Yeah.
And they stretch themselves, and now you get a situation where you have this situation where, you know, they've got to get people in to get the money back they've invested in these parks. And sadly, the only park who's doing that is Disney. So, you know, Disney are doing something quite amazing in this recession and doing the right deals. I think other people probably need to look at the Disney way of doing it and mirror it to ensure that Orlando doesn't start to decline. You know, and we've seen this before with holiday resorts. You know, you get one place which is brilliant, but the area declines. And you can't afford the area to decline on this at all.
Well, hopefully, you know, Disney won't decline. There's enough there for people to want to keep coming back. Okay, let's go into the parks then, and let's just do a little bit of one piece of news, really, for the Magic Kingdom. And that is the Stitch's Supersonic Celebration. It seems that the show is now at the painting stage. They've finished all the building work. Things are well underway to make it blend into the surroundings. They've given it that well-known grey and blue colour. And it seems that the latest date for the opening seems to suggest a 10th of May opening. So I would look around beginning of May time for some sort of soft opening performances coming to Stitch's Supersonic Celebration.
We are really going stitch-orientated at the moment with Disney. It's boding that there's a film on the horizon, isn't there?
Yeah, almost like they're bringing out something new, not with a lot of sequels coming up at the moment, but with Cars 2 and all of those starting to come out, whether or not they're thinking about bringing something new for Stitch on the big screen.
CGI Stitch.
CGI Stitch, indeed. Okay, so nothing really for Epcot or Disney Hollywood Studios this time, but we're going to head over to Animal Kingdom. We're actually going to head to Animal Kingdom Lodge first, and we're going to look over at the new Sana restaurant we told you about on a couple of episodes ago. And Sana, they've released now the menus for Sana, and also they've released the opening date as being the 1st of May. Now, I've got copies of the menus here, and there's some really interesting looking things on them. Some of the main courses, really, we can look at things like the chicken with red curry sauce, shrimp with green curry sauce, beef short ribs, there's the dum biryani, there's today's sustainable fish, a club sandwich as well. So there's some really nice, interesting sounding curries there, and so this very Asian Indian sort of mix.
Very posh curry, isn't it? By the sounds of that.
Posh curry. Again,
no zebra there, is there?
No zebra there, unfortunately. But if we're looking at, again, the dinner evening menu, we're again looking at the red curry chicken. We're looking at the shrimp with green curry sauce again. We've got tandoori lamb chops or tandoori chicken. We've got banana leaf wrap sustainable food. Beef leaf wrap?
Beef leaf.
Be interested to see that. And the dum biryani there again. But do you know what? No naans and no poppadoms.
I wouldn't bother going. No, probably not a decent cobra lager as well.
So nothing there. No poppadoms.
Oh, I suppose the only downside of this is when you go there, you're very hot. Yeah. And we're not used to the heat being British. And probably the last thing you want is then to eat an Indian. A hot Indian.
Well, if we look at the prices as well for it, we're looking at tandoori lamb chop there is $20.99. We're looking at the spice-crusted Cornish game hen, which is $17.99. You were talking about your lagers. We've got bottled beer here. There is the Tusker Premium Lager from Kenya. There's the Kingfisher Premium Lager from India. They're both $6.75 a bottle. So it's not going to be the cheapest place in the world.
I'm curious to see, because, you know, Rome offers you a lot there, isn't it? And it's how it's going to compare. But I still like the idea. I think it's a great concept.
Another idea that I really like, and we're now going to enter into the actual Animal Kingdom Park itself, is a new food offering, which is something called Picnic in the Park. And starting the 7th of April, guests were able to purchase a meal for the family packaged in the Every Tree Has Character reusable bag to take with them to one of the many picnic spots found throughout the park. Plates and utensils are provided. Now, each meal includes a choice of entrees, side dishes, desserts and water. And there are two tiers available to guests to select from. So this is sort of like a Disney dining option that is a picnic, really, that you'd be able to eat outside at different locations. There's two tiers, a tier one and tier two. In tier one, it features the following wraps and sandwiches. You've got a chicken wrap, a ham grinder, a tuna pita, or a turkey focaccia sandwich. And they come in sort of meals for a certain number of people. So a meal for three is $24.99 plus tax, and it's three sandwiches, one large gourmet side, three desserts or fruit, three bottles of Dasani water. Dasani, here it is again. Meal for four, again, increases everything by one. That's $32.99 plus tax. Meal for five, $40.99 plus tax. Meal for six, $48.99 plus tax. The gourmet sides, which are 16 ounces, are chips, macaroni cheese, not chips as in, as we know, it's crisps, obviously. Seasonal fruit salad, coleslaw, mashed potatoes and gravy, tomato and cucumber, corn medley, orzo pasta salad, green beans or oven roasted potato wedges. The desserts are apple, brownie, cookie, cornbread, crisp, rice treat or an orange. Sounds like a really interesting idea.
Yeah, and I'm going to be handing mine out to the family when we're on Everest, just as we're about to do the big drop down. Go, here's your food, kids.
It sounds a little bit like the Jim will fix it with the scouts who were on the big roller coaster while trying to eat a McDonald's. You could do the same thing with this. Fantastic.
You have to get your picture taken at the very end with a shredded lamb,
with something, the ham grinder or something.
That's a ham grinder, not heard of that. I presume that's just shredded ham.
Shredded ham, I don't know. That'd be quite interesting. There you go. You've got to have your food out in front of you. That'd be, we should put that to Disney as a possible challenge for the Everest challenge. It'd be great. Anyway, tier two, the offerings of a choice of rotisserie chicken or ham. There's a meal for three, which is $29.99, and it includes 6 pieces of rotisserie chicken or a pound of ham, 2 large gourmet sides, 3 desserts or fruit, 3 bottles of Dasani water. And at this time... for each person that it goes up to, maximum meal for 6, it's 2 extra pieces of chicken, another quarter pound of ham, and then another, obviously, gourmet side, and another dessert, water, etc. The meal for 3 is $29.99 plus tax. It's actually just another $5, which is nothing, really. Meal for 4, $38.99. Meal for 5, $47.99. Meal for 6, $56.99. Again, the gourmet sides and the desserts are the same. There are no modifications or substitutes allowed as part of this package, but let's explain a little bit about how it's going to work. Guests will be able to place an order at the Picnic in the Park podium located in front of guest relations at Disney's Animal Kingdom. This is going to be operated from 8:30 a.m. until 1 p.m. Now, after that time, if you the guests have arrived and you've not, or you've arrived after that time, you want to do it, or you enter the park and you think, actually, I really fancy doing that and we haven't done it, you can also go to the main podium at Tusker House Restaurant and place your order. Now, the interesting thing is, pickup time needs to be at least 2 hours from the time of order. So rather than you know, it's you collect it whenever you want to, if you order it at 8:30, you have to pick it up at 10:30. So you have to think really carefully about when you want to order this, because 10:30 you're going to be carrying that pound of ham around with you for a good couple of hours before you're going to sit down and eat it. You also have to take with you a copy of your order form. Payment is not due until you pick up your order, which I thought was quite interesting, rather than payment at the time. And the pickup location is at the Kusafiri Coffee Shop and Bakery. Now, guests are on the Disney dining plan. Picnic in the Park may be used as a quick service meal option. So basically, if you're doing a meal for three, it will require 3 adult entitlements. There will be, as I say, designated picnic areas for guests to sit and enjoy their picnics. The information for this will be given at the time of collecting the picnic packs. I don't know of all of the places. I know one of them is going to be over by the caravan stage, but I don't know where all the rest of them are going to be.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. Yeah, it's quite often for a family of 5, I've gone and spent $50 on some substandard meal. Whereas I look at this, I think it's all really healthy looking. There's something there for all my family to pick out of the gourmet sides. I think it's an amazing idea.
Yeah, definitely. It's a healthier option. It's something that, you know, you're going to be able to pick out, I suppose, as you walk around, you get your sandwiches. It'd be interesting to see the size of the sandwiches. That's my one thought, really. But it's another option, and it's something that's a little bit different, and something that actually, you know, you haven't got a queue for a table service restaurant, you haven't got a queue for a counter service restaurant. It's going to be ready for you when you go and collect it.
I think that's been the problem sometimes at Animal Kingdom, is the fact that you do tend to find the eateries are really full no matter what time you go.
Yeah.
And this is what they're trying to do, is disperse people a bit. And the areas, I'm discussing, I think, the other show, how beautiful Animal Kingdom is, when we were saying it's not just about the rides, it's the fact that we wander around it and just admire it for what it is. And I think if you can get some of these picnic areas in those areas, I think people would appreciate the park, because it's a million miles away from Orlando, isn't it?
I think you're right. That actually would make a huge, huge difference there. Okay, so let's leave the parks behind. That's really all the park news that we've got. We're going to head over to Downtown Disney. But we have a rumour to start with, the rumour of something interesting that may be replacing the Virgin Megastore. As we reported on the last edition of the show, Virgin Megastore is closing, and there was a rumoured Apple store coming into its place. There's also been a new rumour that AMC, the current theatre sort of chain over in Downtown Disney, thinking about buying it and turning it into a new IMAX theatre. Now, again, we have no more news really as to whether this is true or not, or whether the rumours suggest that this is going to happen. But there were also rumours at one point about AMC refitting a couple of their pre-existing theatres into an IMAX. Maybe this rumour predated the rumour now about them turning AMC turning this into an IMAX, and whether this is going to happen. But I don't know, do we need an IMAX in Downtown Disney?
I think wherever IMAXes go, I think they're always a big success. I think what needs to be looked at the moment is going back to what we were discussing before about the amount of people going to Disney at the moment. And if you go to Disney, where are those people always going to go? They're always going to go to Downtown Disney at the night time. That place is, you know, you've got to drive down, try and find a space later on, and you're in trouble. And I think whatever moves in there, this to me is a fantastic piece of retail space. that anyone should bite the hand off. It's bizarre, isn't it? Everywhere else you're in the world at recession, you're getting these retail spaces that no one wants. Whereas here, what is one, I think there's going to be, not just I think there's going to be a lot of people applying for this, but an IMAX would be a huge hit. How many times have you gone now to AMC and actually there's been huge queues?
Yeah, I'd say we go to AMC if we can while we're there. A lot of people say, you go to the cinema while you're on holiday in America and you're in Disney. It's like, well, the films don't come out for 3 months or so over here, so it's an opportunity for us to go. With an opportunity to see it on an IMAX as well, so easily, it might be an option.
Well, this is it. In Bolts, a prime example, there's about 3 to 4 months difference in release times between America and Britain.
In fact, I think Bolt was released on DVD in America before it was even released in the cinema here.
Yeah. So this is why us Brits stand outside the cinema and the rest of the Americans go past going, what a waste of a holiday. We're like, so we can go back and say, yes, we've seen that.
Okay, here's a thought. For those people who aren't golfers, is there a possibility that this could be, the IMAX could be an addition onto the premium ticket?
It could be, couldn't it? I think that will give several options. IMAX, I think, will give Disney a lot of options if they can do a big tie-in with several things.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so let's continue into Downtown Disney. We're moving into Pleasure Island, really, for the next couple of bits of news. Paradiso 37, the new restaurant that's opening within the Pleasure Island area, is going to be opening in May, we now know. And it is this high-energy restaurant, and it's a bar, high-energy restaurant, and it's going to feature cuisine from North, South, and Central America. So it's going to be by the lake, as all of the others were before. It's going to present offerings on the menus that represent the 37 countries of the Americas, plus an international wine bar, 37 varieties of tequila, and 10 different signature margaritas. Now, this new concept is developed by eBrands, who are a restaurant group in Orlando, who already own several chains within the area. And this sort of downtown Disney restaurant is going to offer nightly entertainment, and it's going to be open from 11 a.m. until late night. Now, I originally thought this was going to be a Southern American thing, and I wasn't quite so sure. But now it's got North, South, and Central America, it's really going to be a wide appeal. I think, you know, maybe I'll give it a go this time around.
When I looked at it, I'll be honest with you, I think it looks to me like a confused restaurant, one which hasn't got a clear vision. It's almost like, I mean, you look at the restaurants that the eBrands own, I mean, there's quite a diversity there, isn't it? Yeah. And I think what they've done is gone, oh, well, we're not quite sure it's going to succeed. Let's lob it all in the melting pot. It's too big, too varied. And bizarrely, you look at that and you take away the Disney name. If you'd read that press release, would you not think Universal City Walk is where they were talking about setting something like this up at?
When I first heard it, I did think Universal City Walk. That was the first thing that came to my head. You know, I quite like the sound of it. You know, maybe you're right. Maybe it's a little bit confused. I think Gordon Ramsay might go in and pull it apart. But I think if there's no queue, then I think it might be something we'll think about. If there's a big queue or a big wait, then maybe not. But, you know, it's something new, something different, and, you know, we might give it a try.
If it's outside booth for the frozen margaritas, I'll be there, though. I must admit that.
We've got 10 to choose from, so you were there a while.
Oh, yeah.
Playhouse, Pleasure Island. Disney, where did that come from? Completely different end of the market. Pleasure Island has also got a new nighttime entertainment coming as well. It's going to be outside. It's going to be from the beginning of April time, so it's going to be around this sort of time that it will have started and be running. It's called Celebrate Tonight. It's going to be a high-energy street party that's going to focus on what guests are celebrating. Now, there are going to be DJs as party hosts who are going to apparently engage and interact with guests to join in. There's going to be stilt walkers and party group dances. They're going to be sing-alongs to celebrate birthdays, anniversaries, family gatherings, etc. And this is all while they're going to be playing the latest, greatest party hits. Now, Celebrate Tonight is located in the West End Plaza of Pleasure Island, which is up by where the old West End stage was, which is sort of Adventurers Club sort of end. It's going to run from 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. Sunday through Thursday and 6 p.m. to midnight Fridays and Saturdays. You were talking about the restaurant being a bit confused. I think this also is a bit of a confusing, interesting sound in nighttime entertainment coming to Pleasure Island.
Yeah, the only thing I was missing was the word Stitch. I think every time I've seen high energy and street party in a press release, it's had Stitch somewhere in there.
Right, I think you're right. I don't know what this is going to entail. It'd be interesting. I think maybe it's just they're putting lots of music on, right, trying to liven the area up a little bit, trying to draw people into where Paradiso 37 is going to be. You know, there's a bit of a concern there that this restaurant's going to be out on a limb on its own. And I suppose it's just going to be loud music outside, and they're trying to tailor it to the What Will You Celebrate promotion.
Yeah.
Okay, let's jump on an aeroplane. We're going to fly all the way over to Paris, where we're going to go to sunny Disneyland Resort Paris.
Very sunny.
As sunny as it is here, which is lovely. And first off, a rumour that apparently Disneyland Resort Paris is looking at a name change. Now, we're not looking for anything extraordinary here, but there are current rumours that Disneyland Resort Paris is once again going to be known as Disneyland Paris. Now, when I first sort of looked into this rumour, I thought, oh, this is interesting. I wonder whether there's any sort of substantial reason behind this or any sort of... this rumour's got any sort of meat to it at all. So I looked at the past three adverts that were on in the UK. I dug them out. And the past three adverts refer to the resort as Disneyland Paris. Now, I don't really know any reason. Well, there's only one reason I can think of, really, why this may happen. And this is the whole argument. This is the GIF-SIF thing, that people couldn't say GIF in some countries, so they changed the name. And I wonder whether the resort word is just causing a few issues with translations or with some people, that they're going to take it out.
It's a strange one, isn't it? I mean, you've got Disneyland Paris now, which doesn't make a lot of sense. We've gone through so many name changes for this park. It's untrue, you know. You can still find bits of your Disney stamps here, there in the park. My big thing was, please, can we make Disneyland Park just Magic Kingdom?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Or at least change the C to a K at the end of the park. Yeah, you're right. I can't understand why we're not Magic Kingdom like everybody else is.
In fact, it'll make even more confusion now, because you go Disneyland Paris, Disneyland Park.
Yeah, that's
you know. You've cutted it down, so make that Magic Kingdom. I think my first thought was all these people with these web addresses that say DLRP in them.
Oh, DLRP Magic, DLRPblog.com. Who else we got? DLRP.info. They'll be all right, because they never change in the first place. But yeah, there will be a few that are really going to be messed about with that.
And to be honest, by the time we hit November, they changed the name again to the Home of the Mouse Meeps. So
yeah, it's already ready for our moving in.
The yeah.
Great. Okay, so... be interesting to see whether that happens, whether it does actually change. So we're going to sort of step out of the parks a little bit. This is sort of an offer that's related to Disneyland Resort Paris, as it is at the moment, but is not actually run by them. I know that the Eurotunnel, I think, have been doing a very similar offer, but this is one that's come about and was sort of brought to my attention, which is a free Disneyland Resort Paris ticket if you book a train ticket with RailEurope.co.uk. This is something I've done recently and was the reason why I sort of came across it. If you're travelling, it was from the 27th of February all the way to the 26th of June. You can claim a free Disneyland Resort Paris adult one-day hopper ticket when you purchase your rail travel from Rail Europe. Now, I am obviously going over to Disneyland Paris in the next couple of weeks, really, and I'm flying over, going to Charles de Gaulle, and I wanted to get the easiest, quickest way to the resort. So I booked myself a train ticket return on the TGV, and I booked it through Rail Europe, and it means I get myself a one-day adult hopper ticket for the pleasure of booking with them. Admittedly, the ticket wasn't particularly cheap, but it certainly, you know, sort of eases the pain a little bit knowing you get the free ticket. But how do you claim? Well, you claim your free ticket by presenting your booking confirmation email, train ticket and passport at the guest relations window at the entrance to the resort. There are some terms and conditions that go with it. They're fairly straightforward. Things like one free adult one-day hopper park ticket per train booking. I wondered whether if you made your outward journey and your return journey on two different bookings, you'd get a two-day ticket. Interesting. I don't know if that'll work. To redeem the voucher, the passenger must present the rail ticket, obviously passport and train ticket. The ticket confirmation, train ticket and passport at guest relations window. The offer is valid up until the 26th of June. Tickets must be claimed within 1 month of the departure date on the booking confirmation, but no later than the final redemption date. So you've got up to a month after you've been on your trip, but you have to use it by the 26th of June. You cannot use it in conjunction with any other offer, obviously. It's non-exchangeable, and the ticket is only valid on the day of redemption. So if you redeem it and then think, oh, I didn't need that, it's tough, you've got to use it. And then obviously it's subject to park capacity. Great offer, though.
I think it's an absolutely amazing offer. It's obviously an offer that Disney was giving away virtually free, because, I mean, your TGV ticket was, what, about £40-something?
£3 return, yeah.
Which means that no one's making any money out of that, so they can't really give it that way. I just think it's amazing that the number one attraction place in Europe is not sitting back on its laurels, and it's trying to bring people in. So if you're going, let's say, to Paris, what this is great is going, oh, let's go and try Disney out. You know, it's that free sampler. I sort of discussed this before about, you know, going into supermarkets, you get, oh, let's try this, and you go and buy it.
Yeah.
I think it's absolutely amazing that they're not sitting back, they're not sitting there going, oh, look, aren't we the greatest in the world? They're going, hang on, how do we make ourselves even better than where we stand now? And I think this is going to bring, you know, loads of people in who probably haven't even thought about Disney who will go down and go, do you know what, we'll come back again next year.
Yeah, definitely. It's that, you know, and if you go in for a few days and you get that one day ticket and, you know, you think, oh, I've only got a day, that's fine. You go for a day and you think, well, I'd quite like to try the other park, or I'd like to spend a bit more time in this park. Suddenly, you're buying more tickets and Disney getting more money in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so another offer. We're entering Disneyland Park this time. And it seems that guests who are visiting Disneyland Paris are being offered a free hot drink. This is something that we have heard about. Again, this is something that's not been 100% confirmed. From what we understand, it's something that's been going about. We don't know whether the offer is still happening, whether it was a very brief offer. But once you've bought something from one of the eateries within the park, you get this second ticket, which offers this offer of a free hot drink from one of the following participating locations inside the park. Now, this offer can be redeemed between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. from the following places, we understand. Case's Corner, Cable Car Bake Shop, Gibson Girl, Victoria's, Market House Deli, Ice Cream Company, Coffee Grinder, Cafe Hyperion, Fantasia Gelati, Pizza Planet, Bellanotte, Chalet de la Marionette, Toad Hall, Hakuna Matata, Cowboy Cookout, Fuente del Oro, Colonel Hattie's, Onkuli, Backlot Express and Cookie Kitchen. Now the tickets need to be exchanged on the same day as the first purchase. Interesting offer.
Yeah, I go from one extreme myself, going, wow, what an awesome offer for the free ticket by the train, to the hot drink and thinking, but why?
Yeah, I know what you mean, but also at the same time, and look at that, and if I think about when I went in November, it was bitterly cold, it was freezing, it was snowing, and at sort of 7 o'clock at night, I was quite, you know, happy to have a hot drink in my hands. And I wonder with it, you know, obviously the way the weather's been recently, and it still gets quite chilly in the evening, that between this 3 and 7 o'clock when it starts to get a bit colder, that Disney's saying, here, have a free hot drink on us, warm you up a bit, you might stay in the park a bit longer, therefore spend a bit more money. That's my only thought I can think of.
Well, my only thing there will be this year to give us away free Mickey mittens or a margarita to warm me back up again.
Or a coat or something, yeah.
A Mickey coat.
I think hot chocolate's a bit cheaper than that. Anyway, okay, let's move over to Walt Disney Studios. We have a few bits of information. Firstly, on the April the 1st at around 11:20 a.m, when I first read this, I saw April 1st and thought, oh, April Fools, but no, it's not. A fire broke out in a Walt Disney Studios attraction, Rock and Roller Coaster. Now, the fire started on top of the roof of the attraction. About 120 guests were evacuated, and it took firefighters over 4 hours to extinguish the fire. Because of the incident, the next door stunt show was cancelled, but there was no damage to the ride itself. Which is pretty good, really.
Mm-hmm. It's bizarre, Rock and Roller Coaster, because it's never... You see people come out anyway, isn't it? Cause it doesn't ever seem to be as reliable as the American versions for some reason over here.
But apparently, or the rumour I've heard, is the reason the fire started is that it was a cast member having a cigarette on the roof during a break and it didn't put it out properly. I don't know whether that's true or not.
That's Tigger for you. Irresponsible.
He was up there on a cigarette with his free chocolate. Oh, no, it couldn't have been. But also, the other thing that struck me about this is they had to evacuate 120 people. It must have been a quiet day if there was 120 people there at 11:20 a.m. That's not
yeah.
a lot. That's definitely not a lot for that sort of time of day.
But let's be honest, it's bizarre with the Rock and Roller Coaster.
Yeah.
The fact that everyone queues up for hours on Crush, but you could go and ride the Rock and Roller Coaster about three times without a fast pass.
Yeah, you really can, yeah. But you don't have a fast pass for Crush.
But you could never do that in the States, because Rock and Roller Coaster is always chocker.
True, very true. So more rumours then for the rumoured Toy Story Playland. The Toy Story RC Racer that was going to be built, the half-pipe coaster, it seems that there's now going to be two half-pipe coasters that are going to be side-by-side. RC is no longer going to be part of the attraction. He's going to be sat in the middle, which people are going to be able to have a photo op. And it now seems that there's going to be these generic remote control cars that are going to be inspired by Toy Story that are going to be on the actual track itself. I suppose a little bit like the car Race Rally, they aren't actual cars, vehicles. They're sort of inspired by characters from the cars. So it seems that there's going to be two roller coasters now instead of the usual one.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it? I can never understand the concept of inspired, whether there's some legal reasons behind it.
I don't know, maybe, or maybe there's a whole, oh, I want to sit in Buzz, I want to sit in Woody, and then there's five there, possibly. But it's good that there's now two half-pipe coasters, because one of my first thoughts with this is, the load unload speed isn't going to be quick. And with one, the queues would form so, so quickly. And now, obviously, it's not going to be so bad.
Yeah, I think it's still, you know, hopefully they make it fast pass, touch wood, maybe a fast pass ride.
That would be good. I think that would be a sensible option, just as it would be a sensible option to put Crush as a fast pass. Anyway, I'm going to run for that. I'm going to fight and push people out of the way when I go, because I've not been on it for the last two trips. This is the queue.
It's horrendous.
Rendezvous des Stars, the sort of buffet restaurant over at the Disney Studios, seems to be undergoing a slight change. The sign's been removed, and although the restaurant remains open, blue fences have now started to appear around the building itself, ready for a rumoured change of the title going from Rendezvous des Stars to Restaurant des Stars. This is apparently going to be the Disney Studios' first full table service location, something that I think is well beyond needed. I think we've been waiting for this for some time.
Yeah, bizarre. I think it's not going to be cannot be the only one. Because I mean, the way the expansions are going, we need more than one.
Yes, I think you're right. And it'd be nice to see some themed ideas like we've got over at Hollywood Studios as well.
This is the great thing, isn't it? They've not utilised that yet. And you think this is a blank canvas. So as long as they put the creativity, which I think they are doing at the moment, I think we're going to have a couple of fantastic table service locations.
Yeah, I think we will. And it'd be great to see those added in, and something a little bit different to sort of going to those strange counter service in Studio One. Okay, last piece of news, and this piece of news takes us out of the parks, and it's about the French Formula One Grand Prix. Now, for months, maybe even years, there's been rumours that the Formula One Grand Prix is coming to Disneyland Paris. There was an area earmarked, which is down by where the current area is supposed to be for the third gate, where they were going to build this new track. And it seems now that Disney are not going to have this famed French Formula One Grand Prix. It's now actually going to take place 40 kilometres northwest of Paris at the Flins-les-Mureaux area. And so for me, I just say thank goodness for that.
Yeah, I think it would have ruined the whole country feel of where Disneyland Paris is now and how they've built around it with the towns. I don't think it could have coped with the congestion side of it, so I'm very happy to say goodbye, F1.
Yeah, and as much as I enjoy watching F1, I was concerned that, you know, obviously this would happen during the off-season, and with it being off-season, it means that would be busier, the price of hotels would go up, the area, like you say, would become more congested. There would then, I think, you know, we'd suddenly then start to see things like the Richard Petty driving experience starting to appear and all of those things, and I don't think they would have necessarily fit within Disneyland Paris. And also with it being part of the area for the third gate, it could have meant that the third gate would have been reduced. And that would have been a real shame for something that was going to happen once a year.
Exactly.
Well, that pretty much rounds up all of the news and the rumours for this episode. So it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from Jez. Let me tell you about a and welcome to this edition of the Disney Brit Trivia Quiz. We are, of course, going to bring you the answers to this month's quiz, quiz number 9. And as you may remember, we are focusing on the Animal Kingdom. So this trivia quiz was Animal Kingdom questions only. So without any further ado, let's give you the answers to this month's Disney Brit Trivia Quiz. Okay, so let's start off with question 1 then. This one was for 100 points, and the question was this. What Animal Kingdom ride, show or attraction would you find this following piece of music? The piece of music you can hear in the background, I'm going to play a little bit more to you now, then I'll give you the answer.
So tell me, Dad, what's it like to cross an entire sea?
Well, son, I don't know. Let's go home together, then you'll tell me.
Want to make it 3?
And that is, of course, Finding Nemo the musical, which replaced Tarzan Rocks in the Theatre in the Wild. Now, with the step up to a musical, songs had to be written. So Disney turned to Robert Lopez, who co-wrote Avenue Q, and his wife, Kristen Anderson Lopez. Now, the puppets for the show were created by Michael Curry, the man behind the puppets found in the smash hit musical, The Lion King.
I love you too, son. Now go have an adventure!
Two, then, for 200 points. What is the name of the park's icon? It is, of course, the Tree of Life. Now, the 145-foot tree stands at the centre of Discovery Island. At its widest point, the branches span out to around 165 feet, and the 50-foot-wide trunk has around 325 different animals ornately carved into it. Sculptors, designers, and Imagineers spent 18 months constructing the tree, adding over 100,000 individual leaves. Beneath the tree is the theatre, which shows it's tough to be a bug.
Bye, Elmo.
Nemo.
Bye,
Jen. Three, then.
Bye.
This one was for 300 points. Name the African village in Disney's Animal Kingdom. Now, we had a few interesting emails through with answers. A couple of people put Kidani Village, which was a brilliant idea, but unfortunately, Kidani Village is the new DVC wing of the Animal Kingdom Lodge. And the actual answer is Harambe. Now, Harambe is a fictional village, but in Swahili means coming together as one. The village contains a school, fruit market, train station, and wildlife reserve, which guests can explore. You will also find the African Contemporary Band and the Citizens of Harambe Street Atmosphere actors performing during the day. Question four, then. This one was worth 400 points, and the question was this. What was the name of the tree-like character found wandering the parks? Now, the answer I was, of course, looking for was Divine, but Andrew Poole did email in and gave me two answers. He gave me both Divine and Wes Palm. So, actually, if you'd have put Wes Palm down, then that's fine. The answer I was looking for was Divine, though. So, Divine lurks around trees between Africa and Asia. This tree street performer was designed to look like vines from a tree and would sometimes catch guests unaware. Divine appears early in the park, still appears now and appeared early from the park days, and was supposed to have retired in 2008, but does seem to be seen wandering the park still. Moving on then to question five for 500 points. What is the name of the river that circles the Tree of Life? Well, it's called Discovery River, and when the park first opened, the river was used for the Discovery River boats, but with the ride closing in 1999, the river was no longer used in the park, although there are some hidden treasures around its banks. These include a dragon's cave and a dinosaur somewhere near Dinoland USA. It was, of course, they tried to rejig the Discovery River boats to the Radio Disney Cruise, and that also did not work. Question six, then, 600 points. In the original marketing campaign, Disney created a fictitious word to let guests know that what the park wasn't. What was that word? And it was Natazu, spelt N-A-T-A-Z-H-U. Now, when Animal Kingdom opened, Disney were conscious that people may have thought that Disney's Animal Kingdom was just another zoo. So to try and dispel the myth, they started this marketing campaign in which they invented this new word, Natazu, meaning not a zoo. Now, this campaign did not stick around, but luckily, Animal Kingdom did. Question seven, then, 700 points. Name the doctor who takes you back in time in Dinosaur. His name is Dr. Grant Seeker. Now, Dr. Grant Seeker is played by Wallace Langham from CSI. He narrates the ride as you journey through the turbulent world of Dinosaur in search of an iguanodon. And finally, question eight, then. This was the hardest one of the week, and the one that seemed to have caught several of you out, those of you who did email in your answers. This is the one that a lot of you came unstuck with. In It's Tough to Be a Bug, who voiced the role of Hopper? Well, in the original movie, it was Kevin Spacey who voiced the character of Hopper, but he declined the opportunity to revisit the character for the attraction. So instead, director of both Finding Nemo and Wall-E, Andrew Stanton, stepped in to take his place. Dan Foley still voices Flick in the attraction and the film. So the person you were looking for was not Kevin Spacey, it was actually Andrew Stanton. Well, that rounds up the answers to the 9th edition of the Disney Brit Trivia Quiz. Well done to all of you who got all of those right. Thank you to all of those people who did email into us. Particularly want to pick out Denise Duggan, Steve Sanders, who got 7 out of 8 right. Well done. But a massive, massive well done. Big congratulations to Andrew Paul, who, literally within hours of the last show being released, had emailed all 8 answers correctly to me. So well done to you, Andrew. If you can email me your address, we're going to send you out a copy of the Disney Brit Trivia DVD for you to enjoy at home. No doubt you'll enjoy that with you doing so well with the quiz. Of course, we're going to be back next episode with episode 14, where we're going to bring you quiz number 10 of the Disney Brit Trivia Quiz. So until then, enjoy the rest of the show. When people think about going to Walt Disney World or Disneyland Paris, then quite often they think that it must be a family thing. You can't really go on your own. You must go with at least 2 people. And actually, this is a bit of a myth, because travelling to Walt Disney World on your own really does have its advantages. And what we wanted to do is just have sort of a bit of a roundtable discussion, I suppose, about the advantages of going solo to one of the Disney theme parks. So again, Juz is here, and we're just going to sort of discuss some of these ideas. So Juz, have you ever actually been to any of the parks by yourself?
Only when they're asleep and I sneak out.
No, obviously...
Apart from that, no.
Obviously, I go on research trips. I go out to Disneyland Paris and do little bits and pieces here and there. So I do sort of go out every now and again on my own. And as much as I do sort of miss not going with the family and not seeing my little boy's face light up, you know, whenever he sees the characters, there are also some sort of advantages to it. And I think what I want to sort of really look at is this stigma that if you go on your own, it's going to be a little bit lonely and you're going to be a bit of a loner and everyone's going to think you're really sad. And I get the comments from my friends, things like, you're going again, or why are you going on your own? That's ridiculous. If you go on your own, you'll have nobody to talk to, you'll have nothing to do. And I think it's quite an interesting idea that, you know, people will quite happily go shopping on their own or will quite happily go out and do things on their own. But when it comes to going to visit a theme park on their own, people seem to think that it must be a social thing.
It's funny, because if you went to a theme park in the UK, no one would think twice about it on your own, would you?
No.
If you go into your local area, as you quite rightly say, or, you know, if you Blackpool Way or whatever, you go to Blackpool Funfair and you live right by it, no one will think twice about it. But as soon as you say Disney, people immediately think Disney family, which probably in some ways is the whole concept of what Disney has spent the last 3 decades trying to instill into one, is a family destination.
Yeah, and I think you're right, but there's also those people that don't necessarily have a family or don't have the opportunity to go with others. And I suppose Mouse Meets, in a way, is part of that opportunity to say to people, look, if you're coming on your own, come on your own. It's not a problem. There are going to be other people there that are going to be on their own. You know, I don't think I'm going to bring my family out to Mouse Meets just for the nature of what the event is. But I don't have a problem with going out and meeting up with other people who might be on their own as well. So, you know, let's look at some of the advantages, some of the things you could do. You know, we can look at this, I suppose, really selfishly, in the fact that, you know, you're there on your own, you can do exactly what you want. And I think one of the things is you can get the chance to ride your favourite attraction more than once without the rest of your family going, what, again? You're kidding. Not again. My last trip when I went out to Disneyland Paris was end of November. And I think I rode Pirates of the Caribbean about 3 times in a row. And then the very last thing in the evening, I think I did Big Thunder Mountain, and we did that 3 times without stopping. They just sent us through the station again. And if you're with a family, it would have been a little bit more like, you know, I can't make them wait any longer, I can't do that again. But it is that chance to ride that favourite attraction and do it more than once and do it again and again and again. With that sort of that idea in mind, I think there's also this idea of have just been able to spend plenty of time just wandering the parts, you know, having no agenda whatsoever, just going and wandering and just looking and just taking in all the detail and all those sort of things, not having to occupy yourself with something.
I think the thing is, with a family, you know, you're never always all in sync. You know, family of mine is family of five, you know, from teenagers downwards. And the problem is, you know, as you quite rightly say, one person wants one thing. Mm. Or in a teenager's case, one person doesn't really want to be there, or, you know, and that changes the whole dynamics of everything anyway. So you're quite right in what you're saying. I think a touch of realism as well has to be put into place. The fact that these days, I mean, you look at the news and, you know, the horrors that people go off backpacking and whatever, and always crop up on the news. Disney is one of the very few places in the world, I say, you could go as a single person and you're safe.
Yes.
Completely safe. And the whole environment is a safe environment.
Yeah, completely. And we were talking about, I think it was on the segment last episode to do with Disney Hollywood Studios, this idea of staying behind after the park's closed and looking at the lights and taking photos and things like that. And it's just a perfect time to do it. And I know that, you know, if I go to Disneyland Park when I'm out in Disneyland Paris, I'll arrive, you know, I won't necessarily arrive at the crack of dawn because I'm not always there just to go on the rides. And I'll stay till very, very late. I'll still stay till all the rides have closed, and then I will just casually wander back through the park and just take everything in. Because, again, it's a different sort of place at night to what it is during the day. As sad as it sounds, you know, I spent an hour and a half on Main Street just taking photos of the windows and taking in the detail and all that sort of stuff. Something you wouldn't normally do if you had a family with you. But, you know, since then, I've come back and, we, you know, and you've done this with me. We've researched what some of the windows mean, some of the ones aren't necessarily so obvious. So it's almost, you know, you take in those things that you wouldn't normally do. You know, imagine saying to your family, we're going to spend an hour and a half on Main Street. We're just going to look around at some of these windows now. The looks that you might actually get.
I often do that. I spend an hour on Main Street selling the big issue. Bringing it to...
One of the stigmas, again, with... people is, look, if I go on my own, then surely it's going to cost me more, these single-person supplements and things like that. But one of the advantages with Disney is the fact that they don't actually charge you for a single-person supplement. You don't have to pay extra because you are the only one in a room. Disney are fantastic at charging you per room per night, which obviously, if you've got more people in your room, works out better value. But it also means that, you know, you can go and stay in a hotel. You're not going to be penalised because you're going on your own. And, you know, you can still enjoy the same sort of value as anybody else would normally get.
And you can watch a news channel or pop a channel rather than always watching The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
Yeah, that's very true. Always seems to be on. That followed by Raven, followed by Hannah Montana.
Always.
Always. Yeah, you can. You can sit and watch whatever you want on telly, which is always good. But I've also found, you know, one of the things that is really difficult for some people to comprehend is this idea that, well, surely you just go and eat at counter service restaurants, don't you? You just go and just get a quick burger and then you just walk around the park eating it. You don't surely go and sit at a table service restaurant on your own.
Well, this is it. And I think, you know, what people must realise is how hard it is for a family of five, even at maximum reservation time, to get into the one which springs my head straight away, Le Cellier, if you're over in the States.
Yeah, definitely.
Whereas if you're a single person, you can walk up and stand there and go, table for one. And I guarantee you'll be in there within half an hour.
And the really great thing about Disney is actually they understand that there are people who come on their own, and actually they make, you know, they spend no less time with you than they would with the family. And they, you know, they really do look after you while you're there. I've eaten in several sort of table service restaurants in Disneyland Paris, and I've been on my own, and it's not been a problem because Disney understand you're there. They understand why you're there. You know, I've normally probably got a Disney Brit item of clothing on anyway, but they, you know, they understand exactly what your purpose is, and if they don't understand, they'll ask you about it. Perfect example is I was over at the Santa Claus Village at Christmas time, and there was a guy who was doing sort of the survey as you leave, and he sort of said to me, oh, you've got a Disney top on. Do you work for Disney? You can't do the survey if you are. I said, oh, no, I don't work for Disney at all. And he was like, oh, what do you do? And I explained about the podcast and about what we did. And he, you know, he really engaged with it and was really interested in what we were saying. He was probably just humouring me, really.
Oh, yeah, but, definitely. You
know, again, it's Disney is brilliant at making everybody feel included, everyone feel sort of welcome. But you
I
are...
imagine,
go on, sorry.
From my perspective, because, you know, my research trips involve the whole family, whether I like it or not. I imagine from your perspective, it's obviously quite interesting to sit at a table restaurant and do a bit of people watching.
Yeah, definitely. And it's also quite interesting to see what other people's reaction is as well, especially when you're on your own, because obviously you just sit there and you get on with stuff by yourself. I had a fantastic conversation with a couple on Eurostar on the way over as well, who were like, are you on your own? I was like, yeah, I'm on my own. Oh, right, what are you doing? I'm going to Disneyland Paris. What, by yourself? Yeah, yeah. Well, what are you doing? And then we got into the whole podcasting again. And it's great to watch people's reactions when they suddenly realize, oh, he's on his own. He's sitting at a table and he's eating dinner by himself. And plus, if you're eating dinner by yourself, you get in and get out quicker as well, I suppose, in a selfish point of view. But I think, you know, you're right in that sense. You can sit and people watch. And, you know, there's no, you can sit on a bench in the middle of Adventureland for half an hour, for 40 minutes, and do nothing and just watch people go by. And there's no problems with that, because you've got nobody nagging you to move on. But also, go on.
No, I was going to say, you're saying that Zoe nags you.
No, she doesn't nag me. It's all right. She might tell me off now. But again, at the same time, we were talking about this idea, that this special attention, that actually, if you're on your own in the park, there's a bigger likelihood, or I suppose, in a way, that you're going to get some sort of attention from other people and from characters as well. I say attacked by Minnie. That's probably completely the wrong word. But I was just sat outside the Cowboy Cookout having a burger and something to drink. And she was going to do a meet and greet, I think, down in the corner, down in the open air area. And as she came past, she literally just came up and gave me this massive hug from behind. Now, if I was sat there with a group of people, the likelihood is that may not have happened, because she would have had to have singled me out and the other person and the other person. But for the fact that I was sat there on my own, I just got accosted from behind by Minnie Mouse, who then proceeds just to continue to walk.
Do you look very sorry for yourself when you're on your own? You've got these people who are talking to you. Going, oh, you've got Minnie Mouse who takes... But do you look very sad?
No, I don't look very sad. I'm quite happy when I'm walking around the park. I've got my digital camera, I've got my audio recorder, and I've got my Disney Brit hoodie on, and I'm quite happy just to wander around the parks and take everything in.
With your hoodie.
With my hoodie, yeah. Looking all cool. So, I don't have a problem with that at all. But also, we're talking about, you know, getting through things quicker. You know, we said that, you know, you might be able to eat quicker, you can get through priority seating quicker. But also, there's that chance of the queue line, getting through a queue line quicker. Now, obviously, some rides have single rider queue, especially mm-hmm. over in Walt Disney World. But also, there's those queues that don't. Big Thunder Mountain is a perfect example that has happened to me a few times, where there's been odd spaces, and they turn around and say, is there anybody on their own? And straight away, you put your hand up, and you might be 20 people back, but through you go. You know, they're not going to stop you.
Rock and Roller Coaster is a massive one for that because of the seating arrangements. They'll often sit there and go, one person. Yeah. And as you say, one person could literally just walk into the queuing area and be let straight through.
Yeah, exactly. And those sort of things, again, don't happen if you're there in a big group. But also, you sort of become a little bit, not braver, but you try out things that you wouldn't normally do. There would be things you would think, you know, somebody else isn't really going to want to do that. I decided to do the backstage tour. And I decided, well, I'm there on my own. It's not going to affect anybody else. It's not I'm going to leave anybody or anything like that. So I went and did it. And it actually turns out that I was the only person that did the backstage tour. So there was literally me and the tour guide. And it meant that the tour guide completely personalised the entire tour. And, you know, it was almost a one-on-one conversation. And so much so, I was even, because she understood that I was a big Disney fan and there was a lot of stuff she was saying that I was sort of adding to, that she made it so that I could go to different places. There were different areas I was able to go to that wouldn't normally be shown as part of the backstage tour. I was given the opportunity to go and look at the inner workings of Star Tours that wasn't normally on the tour, because that was something she was able to arrange for me. So there is that, again, that, you know, sometimes if you are on your own and, you know, you do things like that people sort of say, oh, okay, well, let's give them a special experience that they wouldn't normally get.
I feel sorry for that cast member. Poor thing.
There's
a flip side to that, really. Literally, what you're talking about now is taking your time and getting to see more.
Yeah.
It's things like there's a lot of tour guides out there. The one that speaks my mind is Steve Barrett's Hidden Mickey and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Now, the Hidden Mickey, I've never had time to sit and go around the park and with the book in hand and go through everything. And there's certain tour guides like that. I think it's a great opportunity to actually spend time and go, you know what, I'll go through this book and I'll go and see the little bits of history or the little bits that have been put in by the Imagineers that you can't when you've got a family there going, oh, I want to go and see this Hidden Mickey, or I believe there's something in the mosaic there, and they're all going, we want to go.
Yeah. And also, we'll give a plug for Lou Mangiello. He's got the audio guides, which he's currently doing Land by Land, and I have the Main Street USA, and I plan to use that when I'm next over in Florida, because they're just fantastic, and they literally are like you get in a museum, a walking tour. You put it on your iPod, you take your iPod to the park, you stick your headphones in, and I'm sure it was about an hour and 20 minutes in length, the Main Street USA one, and you literally just go for a wander around the park, and Lou points out things to you as you go. I've got a project that I'm currently working on as well, of which... is in a sort of similar vein, but obviously it's not an audio guide, that again is something that, you know, you're going on your own, it's a perfect companion, although it's also a perfect companion if you're going in a group. But you're able to do things like that. You're able to sort of, you know, maybe do a little bit of research into a specific attraction and then take that research with you and then spend time looking for it. There's a fantastic website called hiddendlrp.com that has all of these hidden facts and ideas and treasures within Disneyland Paris that you're able to, you know, you can go and investigate. There's also one for Walt Disney World, and off the top of my head I really can't remember what the name of it is, but there's so many sites. You just put into Google Walt Disney World hidden treasures, and so many things come up. You know, there's the Indiana Jones well, there's all those sort of stuff that, again, you know, you do a bit of research before you go, you can go and investigate these things without it affecting anybody else.
Definitely. I mean, you know, wouldn't it be great to do, and this is no respect to my family, you know, world showcase on your own?
You would really spend days there.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I think, don't get me wrong, we're not saying here, don't take your family, you must go on your own, because there is...
I think we are.
Sides. We are, okay. Yeah. There's also flip sides to it as well, and sort of saying, you know, if you take your family, you will have an amazing time, but also, don't be scared about not going with your family. You know, don't be scared that going on your own is going to make you look really sad and really lonely, because it doesn't. And, you know, I think we've highlighted some of the benefits. And yes, there are downsides to it. You know, you get there, and if you speak to your family and, you know, maybe you sort of think, you know, you wish they were here. You do have those times where you don't necessarily have the opportunity to share in something. You know, there are two or three things that happened on my last solo trip where I've rung Zoe and sort of said, oh, never guess what's just happened, never guess what's just happened. And because she wasn't there in the moment, she's not necessarily as excited about it as you are. And, you know, you do sort of miss that opportunity to share with other people. But I still think that the good things outweigh the bad things about doing a solo trip.
Yeah, I think... the flip side as well, sort of not the bad side, but it's trip responsibilities. Mm. Now, it's really bizarre, because when you tend to go away as a family, certain people tend to do certain things in the family.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's they pack certain things, or when you're there, they'll do certain responsibilities. Yeah. And it's doing it all yourself. So remember to pack everything.
Yeah, you've got to do it all,
And I hate to say, in some ways, when you know... when you're sort of dashing out to the parks, whatever, it's very easy to start skipping meals. Because, you know, it's sort of thing you just get up and go, right, no one to worry about, I'm going.
that's true, actually.
Because normally you'd have somebody sitting there going, I'm hungry.
So go on.
No, it's really, that's the case. I think, you know, it's very strange going on your own when you're used to going as a family, I imagine, even worse for yourself.
Yeah, because you know, you go with your family and you go on a trip, then quite often you'll arrive, you'll get to your hotel, you'll put your bags in your room, you'll do this, you'll do that. Whereas I will normally arrive quite early, I'll take my bag to the hotel, I'll usually dump my bag because my room's not ready yet, I'll go straight to the park, and then I'll come back to my room late at night. It might be 10, 11 o'clock at night. I'll come in, get into my room, go to bed, get up and leave again. I won't even unpack my bag because I'm not there long enough. Whereas it's a completely different ethos if you're going with your family, that you know, you just don't do that. But I'm very much, you know, I'm going to go into the parks, I'm going to stay there, and I'm going to look at the things I can do, and then I'll leave. I spent a long time in Disney Studios in Paris on my last trip out to Disneyland Paris, and actually there were so many things that I picked up that I hadn't noticed before, just purely for the fact that I'd spent so much time in there. And, you know, don't be afraid, as I say, don't be afraid to wander. my hotel room, if I'm going on my own, I always find the cheapest possible hotel room, because at the end of the day, I just rest my head there and then I come out again. And I always, quite often, will stay in the hotels just outside of the sort of the Disney official hotels, the Kiriad, the Holiday Inn, those sort of areas. I'm staying in the Magic Circus Hotel on my next trip, purely for the fact that it is dirt cheap. I'm not going to need to be there for very long, so that's exactly where I'm going to go and stay. So I think, as we keep saying, as I keep saying, don't feel scared about going on your own. Don't worry about going on your own. And if you have got any questions about doing a solo trip to Disneyland Paris or to Walt Disney World, send us an email, and I'm sure we'll be able to include it in a future listener email show.
Yeah, and if you see someone wandering around with a Disney Brit hoodie talking to himself, go and give him a big hug.
Yeah, I'm on my own. I'm all sad and lonely. No, that's not true. I'm not sad and lonely at all. It's fantastic. So, you know, do go with your family. Do enjoy going with your family. But also, you know, if you get that opportunity to go on your own, take it. Do it.
Okay. Yeah, ditch your family.
Ditch your family. Run away. Right. There we go. Solo travel. That's solo traveling.
Now I'm a solo pilot. I'm flying mighty low. My eyes are filling up with clouds, but I'm still on the ground below.
Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Juz's Credit Crunch Tip, except for it's going to be slightly different this month, in the fact that, well, Juz isn't here. Juz has kindly stepped to one side and given a listener the opportunity to give their Credit Crunch Tip for this month. So what we're going to do is we're going to hand over to Lee Mulby, one of our UK listeners, who's going to bring you his own Credit Crunch Tip.
Hey, Juz and Adam, it's Lee here. I just wanted to add a little thing for your Credit Crunch Tips, Juz. For anyone who's going to Orlando soon and would be wanting to take advantage of the Fairfax card, this is a good way of getting a little bit of extra money on it and saving on the £10 setup fee. If you go to www.matalan.co.uk and click on the link on the left-hand side for reward card holders, then click on Big Offers from Partner Brands on the next page and click on the Fairfax link there, and then book your Fairfax money from that link. They will automatically waive the £9.95 setup fee and also give you £5 extra cash on your card. So just a way of making your holiday money stretch a little bit further. I'd just like to say, keep up the work on the podcast, guys. It's brilliant. I've been listening to since show one. It's great to hear an Orlando podcast aimed more at us Brits. So yeah, keep up the good work. And here's yours from a fellow pod person.
Well, thank you, Lee, for that fantastic tip. I know the Fairfax card is something that I've looked into using in the past. I didn't realise that you can get it through Matalan at the moment, and now I know that, I think I'll be heading over there and having a good look for my next trip. Of course, if you have got your own hint or tip, please do email us at disneybrit@hotmail.com, and we'll be sure to include your tip in a future edition of the show. So thank you, Lee. Great tip, and I hope that's useful to everybody out there. Haven't brought you much of a Mouse Meets update over the past few episodes, so we thought it was about time we brought you some more information about Mouse Meets. Only going to be very, very brief, but first off, we want to say a huge thank you to the sponsors for Mouse Meets, Attraction Tickets Direct, who have been wonderful supporters of the podcast from right near the beginning. Of course, are continuing to sponsor. We also have our sponsors at toyingplans.com, the unofficial guide, and we also have a new sponsor, and this one is very, very exciting. Not only is it going to be a sponsor of Mouse Meets, it's also the official radio station for Mouse Meets, and it is Le Squeak. And the owner of Le Squeak is part of the podcast crew, and it is Juz. So, Juz, do you want to tell everybody a little bit more about Le Squeak?
Yeah, first of all, thing to mention now, it is lastweekradio.com.
It is,
we've had to change from our lastweek.com because it was hijacked by a nasty Australian hosting company. But at the moment, we play Disneyland Paris music 24 hours a day. We're planning to put a bit more structure into that. And we're going to have a lot more about the mouse meets sort of going on that throughout the day as well coming up. So we'll be there plugging mouse meets as much as possible.
And also, I'm not trying to suck up or anything. I do listen to the squeak a lot, actually, when I'm working. I have that on in the background. It's dead easy. You get this little playlist that appears in your iTunes, and then whenever you want to listen to it, you just double-click on it, and it just starts up automatically. So it's thesqueakradio.com. There you go. So three of our fantastic sponsors there. Okay, so we wanted to just update you a little bit on ideas for Mouse Meets. Firstly, by the time you listen to this show, if you have signed up or the newsletter, or you've registered for Mouse Meets, you should have the first Disney Brit Mouse Meets newsletter in your inbox. If you didn't get it, please do email us at disneybrit@hotmail.com and we'll make sure that you definitely get your newsletter. But the newsletter number one is done and is out, isn't it, Joe?
It is indeed, and it's my fault it's taken so long, but we're now getting a plan now. So these are going to be a lot more regular and keeping people up to date of what's happening and keeping the interest going. I think we're still, 100 days away.
More than 200 and something, I think. 266,
yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah, I had to double-check my counter at first. I thought, oh, my God, that doesn't look right, but it is. But the amount of things that especially your good self, Adam, has been doing, there's a lot of new things coming online quite quickly. And as soon as we start, so I think there's a lot backed up at the moment, really, isn't there? But as soon as things get confirmed, we can start ploughing them out. So there might be quite a flurry of activity over the next few months.
Well, one of the things we wanted to sort of do with the update this time was about travel. And actually, although it's not really an update necessarily about Mouse Meets itself, it's actually just a bit of a hint or a help for you with travel. It seems now that nearly all of the budget airlines have released their flights for the time of Mouse Meets. I've already booked my flight. I'm flying out EasyJet from London Luton direct to Charles de Gaulle. I'm flying out, I think it's Friday night at 7, and then I fly back late night on the Sunday. So, and I've got my flight for about £55 return, which you really, really can't complain with at all. So that's definitely something to start to think about. If you're definitely thinking about coming to Mouse Meets, book your flight and do it ASAP because it is much, much cheaper.
Well, this is it. I mean, I was saying about us driving it, which is still a high possibility. But looking at EasyJet from Liverpool, it, once again, same as you, I'm looking at £45 return.
Yeah, so it's dirt cheap. And, includes your taxes, which is fantastic. Also, Eurostar, although if you go onto the Eurostar website itself, they don't exist yet. They only go 90 days. Eurostar have now released direct Disneyland Paris trains up to the 9th of December. So you can go over there and you can get some really good deals. I've got over to Disneyland Paris for something like £70-odd return before now. I think that's gone up slightly. I think it's around about £90 return. But you can get yourself something nice and cheap over there. If you're coming and you're under the age of 25, I think it is, you can get Eurostar even cheaper. So that's definitely something well worth looking at. So your flights and Eurostar are both available. The other options are obviously when you get to the other side. If you're coming by Eurostar, more likely than not, you're going to be coming straight into the resort itself. You're not going to need anything else. But if you're flying in, then you're going to need to find another way of getting in. And there are three options, really, that I've been looking into. If you're coming with a group of people, or you know there's a group of people arriving at the airport at the same time, car hire is a really cost-effective way of going. I've been looking at that as a possibility for coming down for Mouse Meets. Car hire is looking at around £76 for the 3 days, which actually isn't too bad, especially if you're really just going to use the car to get yourself to the to your resort and back again. You're not necessarily going to use it at all while you're there. The VEA shuttle is taking bookings up to that time as well. That works out about €17 there and €17 back. The TGV, unfortunately, are not yet taking bookings. It's only 90 days in advance. But the TGV, it is very much a case of the earlier you book, the cheaper it is. But to be honest, it's not all that cheap whenever you seem to book for the TGV for such a short journey. Like I say, I'm going on the 25th, 26th of April, and it's looking at costing me £43 return for an 11-minute journey each way. So it's quite expensive in that respect, although they might, you know, it might be slightly cheaper if you book it slightly earlier.
The flip side of that, of course, is the fact that you sum up there, and when I was looking at it, was the fact you thought, oh, go this way, I'm gone. 11 minutes, you know, you think, if I just pay an extra, £6 to £10, I'm there in 10 minutes' time.
Yeah.
And that can be quite a big... If you're... Especially, let's say, see, the difference is, myself and you, I think we're going out mouse meets the day before.
Yeah.
That evening before. If people who want to come in that morning, so let's say you're flying, for example, for me, if I was flying from Liverpool to Charles de Gaulle on the Saturday and I got there at 9:45 and I want to make the most of that day, then I probably would pay for this GV, because I know that by 10 o'clock, I'll probably, you know, half 10, I'll be at Disneyland Paris.
Exactly.
And still have a full day instead of coming the day earlier.
Well, that's exactly my thought with going this April, was this idea of, well, I could get the VEA, but it's going to take me an hour and a half. I'm going to pay a bit more for the TGV and just get myself straight there and get myself on with the things that I need to do. And that was my decision this time. I think it might be slightly different next time I go, but we'll see what happens there. But we just wanted to update you on, you know, the travel options that are becoming available. The newsletter is now out, and there'll be another one following fairly shortly. Okay, so there you go, Mouse Meets update. If you've got any other questions or anything you want to ask about Mouse Meets or anything you want to know, please feel free to contact us, email us, talk to us. There are some great people out there. Thank you to some of the fantastic people who have sort of emailed me and said, we'd really like to promote Mouse Meets on our site or on our blog, wherever. DLRPblog.com is one of those people who have been fantastic about really promoting it, and are doing some bits and pieces for us, as well as a few others. So... if, like I say, any questions, disneybrit@hotmail.com, and we'll make sure we get back to you. Pretty much rounds up the show for this time. A bit shorter than the last show, at least. But once again, we need to say a big thank you to our sponsors over at Attraction Tickets Direct and Complete Orlando. You can, of course, visit them at www.attraction-tickets-direct.co.uk and completeorlando.co.uk. Reminder still that we are releasing the shows on Wednesday, and we'll be doing that every 2 weeks. So the next show is going to be released on the 29th of April. Don't forget to continue to email us with your comments, questions, suggestions. We're getting more and more emails as the weeks go by, and that is fantastic. We are continuing to reply to those. Had some great emails about the sort of competitions, about the trivia quiz, some fantastic emails from people saying, you know, thank you for all the hard work you're doing, which is great. So thank you for those, and continue to bring those. Don't forget, we do still have our Disney Brit and Mouse Meet Twitter, so you can go over there and sign up. And of course, we also have our forum at disneyw.com/forums. There's a Disney Brit section down there in their World of Disney section, and there is now the poll up for you to vote on what you think the top 7 of the rest of Walt Disney World is going to be. You have until about the 29th or 30th of April to do that, and we are then going to bring the answers to that to next show. So we've got your sort of final roundup there of those. As of course, I've already said congratulations to Andrew Paul for getting all 8 of those trivia questions right. Hopefully we'll have some more with all 8 right next time. Don't forget to please leave us a review on iTunes. People have done that, and that is obviously going to draw people's attention to the show and bring in those listeners. You can, of course, also still visit our website at disneybrit.com. And also, Mouse Meets registration, as we have said, is open. You can go over to disneybrit.com/mousemeets.asp and register there. Don't forget to sign up for our Facebook groups for both Mouse Meets and for the Disney Brit podcast. And thank you once again to those people who have donated to the show. It really does help. Our next show, as I said, episode 14, will be released on the 29th of April. That is means we've had three shows to April, which is interesting. But that show is going to bring a lot of stuff from the upcoming trip to Disneyland Paris. Hope to bring you some sort of restaurant reviews, some reviews of the new Buffalo Bill Wild West show, and reviews and audio from some of the new celebration that is going on over there. So make sure you do tune into that. Tune into episode 14 on the 29th of April. So until then, that's it from me, and we say thank you once again.